picked John. Oh. And of course, so he homeless too.
Oh.
And
yeah.
Then,
It doesn't matter. As long as we could get the thing moved around.
The machine is on.
All right.
Anyway, I've had a couple of strange experiences. I had one this morning. I mentioned this to Charlie, I think, when he came over. And the question is, when Jesus said, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he was praying, he says, if there be some other way, I don't think we've had that right. I don't think that we've, the devil has let us see the picture. Because he knew he was going to be dying, and he even knew what method it was going to take place, and so he wasn't surprised by it. But I'm thinking that when he was in the garden and he said, "Lord, if there be some other way, nevertheless, I think it had to do with the cross. If there be some other way besides the cross, that's the most inhuman, coolest way of death that they've ever come up with." Yeah. And you guys think about it, because I've been thinking about it.
I have wondered, it's not real clear.
No.
What's in this cup that he's asked me to have passed. And I have wondered if, they talked about maybe Jesus spending an eternity in hell for the sins of,
And it could be that.
And it could be that it's that, and that the Lord granted his prayer.
Yeah.
That he, the resurrection may be a response to that prayer there in Gethsemane.
Yeah. He does say
that cup passed.
Yeah,
we just don't know what it.
We don't know what the cup is. I mean, he mentions it to Peter, right? Can you drink the cup that I'm about to drink?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So he talks about the cup again. I mean, before that, he talks about the cup.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
And, I was just thinking, it just came that, Abraham offered up Isaac by faith. Well, Jesus, being the perfect, would have to be acting by faith also. It would be, he didn't know that there should be a resurrection necessarily, although there was things said, but
what at different times is
it's kind of like the disciples. They didn't at one time they're receiving, and the next time it's like, where have you been, Jesus? So he could be experiencing some of that as his humanity.
That's right.
I don't think we could actually really ever know. I don't know that there's anywhere. Has anyone heard scriptures that connect to that? I don't think so.
To the cup?
And
I had never thought of what Pablo just said, namely, when he was conversing with Peter there.
He said, you too will drink this cup.
Yeah.
To them.
Does he?
I think he does.
I think he does. I think there is something there.
First he just says, and then.
You will indeed.
After he said, you will indeed.
Yeah.
What was James and John, was it, that said?
Where did you think it was at?
I didn't know where. I don't know where it was.
It's there always.
Let's see. Well, it had to be in one of the.
It's in the Gospels.
Sounds like John.
Charlie.
Sounds like John.
You got the. Yeah. Okay. My hands are so. My arms are so weak. I got all I can do to lift it.
Corky will beat me.
Well, cup is used a lot.
Jesus says about the Pharisees being the clean the outside of the cup, not the inside, but I don't think that cup is the same cup.
No.
He asked, what are James and John? He said, can you be baptized with the same baptism that I'm baptized with?
Oh, maybe that's what I'm thinking of, rather than a cup, the same cup.
Oh. So maybe I'm wrong.
No.
I think you're right.
No, you might have, but that might not have been the place I'm probably...
And they said, yes, we can. I mean, stupid, you know, stupid.
Yeah, well, whatever they answer,
it didn't make sense.
No, I mean, it could be right or wrong.
And he said, and so here's what Jesus told them. He said, you will be baptized with the same baptism. And you know, a lot of these guys were crucified. Peter was crucified, or at least legend.
Upside down.
He was crucified upside down, you know.
Yeah.
Is that true?
In John 18:11, so Jesus said to Peter, put your sword into the sheath. Shall I not drink the cup which my Father has given me?
Okay.
That's one of the
things. Matthew 20, verse 22, Jesus says, you know not what ye ask. Are ye not able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of? And to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They said, we are. He said, ye shall indeed drink of my cup and be baptized with the baptism.
Oh, it's both
that's
of them there.
That's got to be it.
Yeah.
So Matthew 20? That
was Matthew 20, verse 22. So Luke 12 is a parallel.
Yeah, you know what? The big teaching point I always got out of that saying was the apostle's mother trying to get a good spot at the table for her sons, and him saying, it's not for me to give.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
The whole same cup thing. Yeah. I didn't focus on that at all.
Yeah.
Kind of shows you who sets things up, doesn't it?
Yeah. And how wrong man is.
Yeah.
Well.
Wrong.
I'm always looking for the wrong things.
Yeah.
I mean, that is just, you know, I often marvel. I marvel at the grand design, right? Because flesh just doesn't do a very good job of staying out of trouble. You know, it sort of seems to be a magnet for bad choices, and you need to be led spiritually to make good choices. And so, you know, you just see this constant battle. And as Paul says, I war with members within myself.
We have this key.
Oh, you keep it by. I can't see it anyway.
Oh, okay. There's this person I'm friends with him on Facebook, and in the last few days he's been writing spiritual stuff or whatever. And he starts, and there's no inaccuracy in anything. He's, Jesus, is your Savior, whatever. I mean, all this, nothing is wrong. Nothing is wrong. But it's lifeless. And it's in a big paragraph and big words. I mean, words that I would have to look up in the dictionary, you know what I mean? And like a philosophy book. I don't know if you guys or psychologists, almost purposely big words, complicated. And everything is right. Everything is, and there's nothing off. At the same time, it's just so lifeless. So lifeless.
That's a good point.
And one of the things he said, he started like, how is heaven going to be like? And blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, my understanding is that we're not going to heaven. We're going to a new earth or paradise or whatever.
You know, I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't. We shouldn't. I don't know. We should say when we go to heaven. It's, that's what the Father is. And I haven't looked up the scripture, but the scripture says there'll be a new heaven, a new earth, and we'll be in the earth, and God will still be in heaven, and it will cover everything. But we are not going to be in heaven. We don't go to heaven. We have life in our world with roads and trees, you know, and a house, I guess. You know what I mean? We're all going to build a house or a mansion or whatever it is. You know, so anyways. But,
Isn't it funny? Just even on the printed word, mm-hmm. you know, you're not seeing and hearing someone.
Mm-hmm.
Just see what they have written.
Mm-hmm.
There is either light there or there isn't.
Right. Right.
And when there's light there, you see that light. Yeah. You know, you feel the spirit in the very words that are spoken.
You do. And I was telling Candy, I said, you know, there is an issue.
Oh, maybe have a trick or treater, Keith. Uh-huh. Well, I think you do.
Hi.
Do you have something? Oh, I should have brought something along here. We're having a Bible study. We didn't.
No, yeah. We're having no candy.
Oh, I feel bad here. Okay.
No, we don't even eat candy.
No. Any fruit?
No.
So, well, okay.
Anyways,
I have a trick or anybody come to the door for probably 3 or 4 years.
No, we haven't either.
Well, a couple new families down at the end are probably, because I see the little ones, I see trick or treat age kids get off the bus up here at the corner.
Maybe we should turn that light off.
And Eli is home alone. Hopefully nobody comes in.
It probably was like an invitation.
Yeah. Anyways, I was telling Candy that there's one big issue with good teaching. And the big issue with good teaching is that it will make you not go up and have the Holy Spirit teach you.
Right.
You know what I mean?
You won't develop a love for the truth.
No. Even if the teaching is good.
Yeah.
There's a problem with good teaching.
Yeah.
And you will say, well, if it's good teaching, you know what I mean? But, I mean, there's a difference between, one thing is, good teaching is, okay, the bad good teaching is like the one that wants to explain to you the Bible and all the whole thing. That's the bad good teaching. The good teaching that we want to hear is the one that tells you, hey, go get it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I think that, you know, the churches are after good teaching and good teachers and somebody that can replace the Holy Spirit.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
It's like pre-digested food.
When I was growing up, I would hear often, I don't know if I heard it often, maybe I heard it just once, but it just feels like I hear it often. But it's like, oh no, man! I mean, if you want to know the truth, you got to talk to the priest. You know, I mean, he will tell you everything you need to know about God, what God does, and what's right or wrong. And I always believe that, you know. And I used to be jealous of priests because I knew they had heaven guaranteed.
Special.
But anyways,
Keith and I were visiting a little bit here this afternoon, and it kind of lit up something for me when Keith was talking about 1 Corinthians 14. And how'd it go? The prophets and the others judge, that ye all might be...
That you might learn.
That you might all learn, yeah, right. And that, you know, if you have it wrong and everyone mm-hmm. kind of corrects you, that process is one where you learn too. Mm-hmm. You know, you're learning.
But,
the whole thing, it's what's going on here is learning.
14:30 maybe?
Right.
14:30.
If I were to say something wrong and Ken were to, you know, Mm-hmm. There's learning in all that. Learning for all of us.
Yes. I heard something.
We've had that happen. Not necessarily something was wrong, but
that's why I was
a different
angle.
Yeah. It was enlightened.
But he that prophesies speaketh on events to edification and exhortation and comfort. Which is learning, but I just it's learning.
Well, that's
you know.
There we go. Now we got to talk about. I wanted to go back to what Pablo said because I thought it was very good. It was very good, but it kind of explains my walk a little bit and where I'm at. And you know, to me, what good teaching was teaching and took away all my weights. I didn't have to wait. So we said, oh, here it is, explained it, got it, I'm on to my next thing.
Yep.
That was good teaching because I never waited on anything. I just, when I want to know something, someone tell me, away we go. And I've come to find out that that ain't God's teaching. You know, that's, and that kind of experience feeds the flesh again.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's exactly right. I mean, and the better that person can make that sound, the holier or the more reverent, the more you swallow that lure.
Yeah.
I mean, this is God Himself telling me exactly. This is what God, how He wants to say it to me, and you go, oh, and you just feel good.
Yeah.
And it's no. I mean, the best teaching is go to the Word and find Him.
Right.
Find Him. Right. And He'll find you seeking Him.
Yeah. There's a place about judgment that I heard. It says, Jesus says something like, I'm not going to judge you, but if I judge you, my judgment is true. It says, because I don't seek my own glory, I seek the glory of the one who sent me. So when we judge, We can't judge as in like, well, you need to be like me or think like me or whatever. No, it's like we judge. When we judge, we need to be after God's glory. That's what Jesus is.
Yeah.
Amen. Jesus says, I don't. Uh-huh. And I have somebody that bear witness. What is it? Somebody that testify or the Father. You know, he bears witness of my judgment or something like that. But anyways, when we judge, I think that would help to know if we're judging right or not. It's like, what are we after with that judgment?
Yeah.
What are we after?
And I think it is possible to do it for God's glory.
Exactly.
I think it is. Yeah.
It should be, I guess.
Yeah. Well, when you are receiving the truth, I think that's for God's glory. Mm-hmm. I feel good, but it's not our ego good.
It's right. It's for the glory of God, not for our glory.
Right.
Not for our exalting. Uh-huh. Not because we want to prove that we're right or anything.
That's not it.
Yeah. So there's a judgment. Like don't judge unless you be judged. But there is a righteous judgment. He says. Uh-huh.
Right now, because you guys are taking in the Word of God, it puts you in a position of slowly becoming righteous prophets. But if you weren't taking in the Word of God, it's not good to do any good.
Yeah, we'd be talking out of our own head.
Because we wouldn't have the foundation for judgment.
Right.
Yeah. And, but it's a funny thing, and I've thought about that a lot about that lately. As a matter of fact, I had something about it in a dream just lately. And, I don't even remember what the dream was, but it had something to do with this thing, the same thing here. But it said, "Let the prophets speak two or three, and let the others judge."
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's why I say I woke up this morning with that thought pattern. I thought, but you know what? After you guys are talking about it, I'm not so sure. But that's the way it's supposed to be. I need to be right. If I can be right, I need to be right. And that's where this comes in.
Yeah.
Okay, give me input. I need input.
Yeah.
And so it says, let the prophets speak two or three, and let the others judge. Verse 30, If anything be revealed to another that sits by, let the first hold his peace. And that's kind of, we have a small enough church, so this works fine. You know, for you may all prophesy, one by one, that all may learn, and all may be comforted. See, that's what this is all about. So you get a one-man operation. And, you know, this is a thing that throws people into a tizzy, but they don't realize it. Because we've slowly let the devil remove chapter 1 Corinthians 14 from our churches, you know what I mean? So we have no understanding of it. We don't know how it works. And so you have a Don Burnett or a Johnny Tenberg or a Keith Gunn or anybody else that does all the preaching. One day I saw that that's not the way it's set up. It never was set up that way. We have no scriptures to support that whatsoever. But that's the way the churches are set up. So you've got Johnny Tenberg, who has his own private little feelings that he works into his messages. You got Don Burnett, he has his own private little thing that he works in, and nobody dares correct him. Do you follow me?
It's not the pattern in
you're
First
not
Corinthians
the pastor.
14.
You don't touch God's anointed. Yeah. And that's what they quote. Don Burnett used to quote that all the time, so did Johnny Tenberg. Yeah. You don't touch God's anointed. That's God's anointed. That's God's anointed. That pastor is God's anointed. You don't touch him. And so there's no correction. So what happens after a while? The devil can take that man and he can destroy the whole church with him. Because he has no correction. Now they had this thing. Remember when we used to go to the Promise Keepers, and they had this idea that every man needs another man to answer to. Wrong. That's about as wrong as you can get, because the head of every man is Christ. So the one we answer to is him. Yeah. And so in order to answer to him, how do you answer to him? You answer to him through here. So,
and the process was a natural process. That's
it's all, the churches are all natural.
Yeah.
It's all natural. And God in his mercy has done something here. I woke up one morning, it could have been a week ago, with a realization of the blessings that God has given to us, the handful of people with the great, wonderful, awesome blessing of turning us over to the Word. When the Bible says in James, it says, submit to God, how do you do it? Do you have a little thing over in the corner and you submit to God? How do you submit to God? You know what? There's only one possible way you submit to God. You submit to His Word. But first you have to believe it is His Word.
Yeah.
And the devil has done everything he can to the churches to make them think that it's not. Yeah. Or that it contains God's Word. Mm-hmm. I was even there.
I have felt that what goes on here in this living room with the people that come is a variety of submission to God.
It is.
I have felt that that's what goes on here.
Yeah. Yeah, I will readily submit to any one of you guys in these things. That's why I'd like to submit something. I'd like to hear your input. Because you're listening to the same word I am. And so you're getting the same things out of it. And I want to know, what are you getting? You know, what is your thing? Just like this thing, I woke up and I thought, you know what? I'll bet you it was the cross that he was asking about. And maybe it wasn't. It probably was. Well, I really felt it this morning.
Yeah.
I heard another scripture setting. I didn't hear it. I read it. No, I didn't. I remembered it. And I looked it up and found it. It said Malachi. And which I think I talked to Corky about. And this is a strange setting. Because at what point ever, anywhere in the Bible, does God say to prove him? Or to test him? Or to try him? Where does he ever say that? Can you think of any scriptures?
Well, there is something.
There's one.
It's in
Malachi.
Is it connected?
It's the only place I can find.
Yeah.
It says that, and God says, you're robbing me.
All right.
And he says, and how are you robbing me? You're doing it by tithes and offerings. You're not putting your offerings into the storehouse, okay? And which is actually the heart. It's a heart issue. It's more where your treasure is, there's your heart also. You know what I mean? And so anyway, it's a heart issue. And so, and anyway, here's what God, and you know what? This thing, it affected me. This has had an unbelievable impact on me. It says, God says, prove me. In one of the translations, it said, try me. And that's what I was looking for, but it doesn't say that in the King James. It says, prove me. Yeah. Prove me, and see if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you can't even contain.
I have been tickled or something by that.
Yeah.
By that term.
Prove me.
Yeah, right.
And I thought, where else is anything? I can't think of any place anywhere else where God says to prove him.
Yeah.
He kind of assumes a position of all powerful, awesome, whatever it is, without us having to put him to the test.
Yeah.
He puts us to the test, but you know what I mean? And I got this unbelievable feeling, of awesome, wonderful feeling. You know, it was more of a faith issue of like, he will do what he says. He will do what he says. He will do what he says. You know what I mean? It was a faith thing that came over me in relationship to that. It had nothing to do with the tithing.
Yeah.
It's a heart issue. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, anyway, I saw that scripture. It had an impact on me. I thought, you know what? Yeah, God's given us the option, and we're going to get to the place where we are going to see, we're going to be proving God.
All right.
You know what I mean? He's going to prove himself to a people that will believe him.
All right. Yeah.
I don't know that I need any more evidence. And my youngest daughter is a real blessing. She keeps reminding me while I'm waiting there for these great, wonderful signs and wonders. She says, Dad, you're already seeing them. Every one of you guys is a miracle. We're all miracles. I got a text from Dale again. It says 2:45 a.m. So it must be this time. I don't think he was given it to me at 2:45 his time.
So which would have been sleeping problems if he was.
Yeah, which would have been 4:45 our time.
Yeah.
But he must have just been up late. But anyway, blessing. Oh, my. I look at it and I'm thinking, so many years I've waited for this. You know, so many years. Because there's been a strained relationship. And all of a sudden here, it does me in. I'm becoming an emotional wreck anyway, but, you know.
Praise the Lord for smartphones.
Yeah. And my phone dings every so often, I don't have a clue why.
Message or email.
And I find more things by accident on the phone than I do on purpose.
Yeah.
You know, I was dwelling on what you said about do we really go to heaven?
Mm-hmm.
And Revelations 21 says, "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear. But then I want to go down. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, and the end. I will give of the fountain of water of life freely to who thirst. Let's see. I will be his God. He will be my son. But then it goes down. One of the angels, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain, showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. So really, I think where we're going is the new Jerusalem.
Whether it's in heaven or on earth.
Heaven or in between.
Doesn't make
or,
wherever,
yeah.
Or on the new earth.
Right. Yes, it could be there.
Because.
One way to interpret new earth.
Yeah, when you go all the way to the end, I saw no temple. Let's see. Well, it's speaking of the city, and it names the 12 gates and everything, you know, and the street of the city was pure gold, transparent glass. But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. Mm.
Suggesting that it's a new earth. You know.
Yeah. You know, and the part that always puzzled me, and I don't know if it's right there or not, but when it gets to the end, Eric's explaining, it says there's an area outside for the Gentiles or something, you know, and it's like, well, wait a minute, I thought there's either heaven or hell. What's this kind of sounds like it's something else, you know, and I have no answer. I mean, I don't know if it's in the explanation.
There is a funny parallel between the old covenant and some stuff you find in Revelation like that. You know, there was the outer court for the Gentiles in the temple there in the old covenant.
Yeah. I think it's somewhere in here, but you know what else is interesting? And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. And I question whose face? Because it's speaking of both of them, you know, the Lamb and the and God.
It would have to be Jesus.
And who not, did you say?
Huh?
It speaks of the Lamb and who else?
Yeah, he says, he showed me a pure water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb.
Ah.
Doesn't the scripture tell us that the angels of these little ones
always see the face of my Father?
Don't always behold the face of his Father?
Yeah, see, I think there's a way, because God's a spirit, obviously you're not going to see a face. No. But I think the time will come when you'll know him like he's
right.
You've never ever known him. Nobody's ever known
right.
him. You know,
it may as well be a face, although it isn't.
Right.
Yeah, I mean
right.
that's the wonderful part I think of salvation, and when eternity comes, is that you will really know God.
Yeah. More like you, but
if you're talking about the face, it's just not the hinder parts, which Moses saw. Right. Moses saw the hinder parts.
Which meant what? You know, it says we don't really know.
Little intimations of them or something, you know. Just
kind of a little glimpse of the backside.
Yeah, it's like that time I said when I was on my face and I knew he was standing behind me. It was like, and he was showing me about 1/1,000,000,000% of who he is, you know.
see the face of my Father, or it's like it will be able to pinpoint it, you know, kind of, sort of, like,
being in the bosom of the Father, kind of like that.
That's right.
But there's another scripture, and I'm not sure where it is, but where it says, no man has seen God at any time, but the Son has seen him.
Has revealed
him. Has declared him.
Or declared it.
Has seen him.
What's it?
I don't know if it says seen.
No. It says he's revealed him in John 1:18. But there's one of them that it says, but the one who came from the Father has seen him. Or something.
Oh, yeah. You know, that's not first chapter of John?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. Because it does say there, no one has seen God at any time.
I don't. Well, it says in John 1:18.
Right.
But there's another place where he says, but the Son of the... He has seen the Father. He has seen him. I don't know where it says it.
Well, that, yeah, I might... That's,
well, Corky's on it.
But what does that mean?
Well, Timothy 6:16...
What is it?
Timothy 6:16 says, the only one who has immortality dwelling in an unapproachable light, no one has seen or can see him, to him be honor and eternal might. Amen. But
that's not the one.
Where's that?
That was Timothy 6:16.
No, this is in the Gospels.
That was the first one that came out. I was going through the Gospels.
I see God at any time.
Except the Son. He has seen him. But I don't know where.
You know, I almost want to say that that's not a scripture. But
there's no man has seen him except the Son who has declared him. I think it's
one for sure like that. But he's talking about another.
Oh, that's John 1.
No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared it.
That's John 1:18.
Oh, yeah. Right. Just know what you're thinking.
No.
You know, if we had a Thompson Chain Bible, it would help us out.
I have one at home. NIV.
Actually, I loaned mine out without really expecting to get it back. Not about the strength of it.
What's the exact scripture we're trying to...
I don't know. At some point I'll find it. I know it's in there.
Well, but that's John 1:18, which you just read.
But Keith said there's somewhere else in the Gospel it says that same idea is being expressed. No man has seen God at any time.
No, not that except, one.
But Jesus, he did see God. So,
but the Son has seen him or something.
Right.
And so, whatever that means... I mean, did he see his face? Do the angels behold the face of God? That's what it says, but is that what it means? Or what does that mean?
Well, we're not even sure what scripture we're talking about.
Yeah. Can we find that scripture? But, you know, in Revelations, I mean, it refers to the one who's on the throne, but really there's... But when it says it, it's just there is power. I mean, glory
you mean
and power.
Revelation,
Keith.
Huh? Are you Revelation?
No. There's power and glory. You know that they don't actually. It doesn't imply that
it doesn't need arms and all that.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, big easy chair.
Even though it says, and the scroll was in his right hand. Well, that's power.
Yeah.
Authority. You know.
Yeah.
Given.
Yeah, I really struggle. Not struggle, but
no, why I can't see it anyway.
Give
me a couple of words.
Descriptions of a physical manifestation of God.
The word that is major there is seen.
Seen
will be
spirit or his presence
impossible to look up
in like an arm.
No man has seen God. So if you put in no man has seen God and see what the scriptures are besides John 1:18.
Experience.
Well, there's implications. In Old Testament stuff, too, where it says his arm of healing reached out. Well, you know, it's for us to comprehend. It's not, you know.
It's to
give us meaning as someone would reach out their arm and, you know.
Yeah. One thing that Mike Sommerfeld brought that I thought was really good once was that he talked about translations. Said the really difficult translation is from the spirit to the natural world or whatever.
Yeah, well, that is exactly right.
And so some of those things, they are, it's a translation device, talking about the throne or the face or whatever.
That's kind of what I was just saying.
Yeah, I'm going to read every time that it says seen in the New Testament, so it will be, we have seen his heart, the star, to be seen of them, may be seen of men, it was never to seen, it was never so seen in Israel, have not seen them, when you have seen it, for to be seen of men, as in Matthew, that the word seen. So, Luke has, I skipped Mark. Luke, had seen a vision of the temple, and when they had seen it, heard and seen, that before he had seen the Lord Christ, for mine eyes have seen the salvation, we have seen strange things today, you know what the things you have seen and heard, those things which they had seen and have not seen them, for the many works that they had seen, and he hoped to have seen some of the miracles done by him, that they had also seen a vision of angels, suppose that they had seen a spirit. Okay,
it might be the Gospel of John.
Okay, I'm going to go to Mark real quick. Those are only four places. Till they have seen the kingdom of God, no man has seen till the Son of Man was risen from the dead, that he was alive and had been seen over, which had seen him after he was risen. Okay, and John. There's 19 places in John. No man has seen God any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, has declared him. We have seen and yet received not our witness. And we have seen and heard that they testify. The Galileans receive him, having seen all the things. You have neither heard his voice or any time nor seen his shape.
What's that one?
John 5:37.
5:37?
And the Father in himself, which has sent me, has borne witness of me. You have never heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. Okay.
It's right in there somewhere.
Okay, right after that someplace. 5:37.
Well, he's rebuking the, I think.
What did it say in 5:37?
Let's see. And the Father himself, which has sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you. For whom he hath sent, him ye believe not.
Now keep going.
Mm-hmm. Search the scriptures, for in them ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye have not come to me, that ye may have life. I did not receive honor from men. I know ye, that ye have not the love of God in you.
Okay, I found it.
Oh,
I found it. $10.
Huh?
Okay, John 6:46. You guys read it better than me. John 6:46.
Yeah, I saw that one. I just didn't. Oh, okay.
Not that man, that any man, has seen the Father, save he which is of the Father, he has seen the Father. Right?
What's
I think
mean?
That's probably it, Keith.
Yeah.
What's that mean?
Yeah, mine says a little bit. Not that anyone has seen the Father, except he who is from God, he has seen the Father. Yeah. Now.
Is that him?
Well, yeah, but now, from God.
Of God. This reason is not that any man has seen the Father, see he which has of God.
That's what I'm getting to. He who is from God. Are you from God?
Well, it's in the same form like with Philip, you know, if you see me, you've seen the Father. It's like Jesus saw the Father in the same way Philip saw the Father.
Yeah, and you're probably right. You're probably not the way I've interpreted it.
Well, it doesn't say anything.
It says he's seen it.
But you know it's kind of like we were saying, in the end, you know, you will see his face.
You will be different, a different vision.
Well, it's now all of us can fall into this verse, probably. It's sooner or later at some point.
And the verse just before that suggests the meaning that you're, what you're saying. It says, it is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father, cometh to me.
Yeah.
Not that any man has seen the Father, save he which is of God. He has seen the Father. So, but the seeing is having that kind of face-to-face without necessarily seeing any nose on a face.
Well, Moses wanted to see God. And God told him, he said, no man has ever seen me and lived.
Yeah, he told him this is a bad plan. Paraphrasing, God told Moses, that's a bad plan.
Yeah.
No one's ever seen me and lived.
You know, I always thought about the scripture, no one has ever seen me and lived. So has someone seen him and died? No, but in a real way, it's like, okay, well, this is your time. So you finally see the Father and you pass. Or I don't know.
Yeah, and then what if you're a believer?
No, if you're a believer. If you're not a believer, I don't even know that you will see him.
Yeah, you die, but you go with him, and then you see him. Yeah.
You know, that would be horrible to not be a believer and see him and then go to hell.
Yeah,
that would be a great...
Actually, I suspect a lot of people see exactly what will happen.
Yeah.
Everybody
that's horrible.
Everybody who's walked through life saying, I don't believe in heaven and hell, on Judgment Day, I think they're going to see
that is horrible.
Become to believe all of a sudden.
Yeah. That's hell right there.
Yeah.
That is hell right there.
Yeah, it says when his presence will leave them, and they'll be in torment.
Yeah.
You know, because if he pulls back his spirit, which is everything, it doesn't leave you with anything.
Mm.
Except all your disappointments and wrongdoings and, failures.
I think the people that are going to hell really would not want to be in the presence of all that truth and life.
Right.
Really, they hate it.
Well, it's going to be uncomfortable.
It's going to be horrible.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
Because, it's funny. We're talking about no man has seen God, and Moses wanted to, and God basically worked out a deal. It says the high court. But remember, when he came down off the mountain after that experience, he put a veil on because everybody said he has seen God. There was an outward manifestation of the fact that just God's glory kind of passed
somehow
by.
Somehow in his presence.
And, they asked him to put a veil over his face because it was distracting all the regular folks, all the Israelites. So the effect of just even a near encounter.
Yeah. What is that scripture when we don't know him, but we will be like him because we will...
First John 3:20.
Yeah.
3:2.
We will see him as
he
is.
3:2, yeah.
We will see him as he is. And that, I guess that will be like him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, now that's speaking of Christ, though.
Of Jesus, huh?
That's, yeah,
okay.
And that, I think, in that sense.
Yeah, okay.
He's coming back to for us.
Okay.
Yeah. God, it says that, God created the worlds through him, by him, with him, or something. And we see that, Mark 16:20.
Hmm? You said John 3:20?
No, 3:2.
3:2. Thank you.
Where was I when I...
John 16:20?
No, Mark 16:20.
Oh, Mark.
Where it says the Lord working with them. And it took me a long time before I ever saw that. But Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. So he wants to work with us, whatever we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
He is with us, or we're not going to accomplish anything. Mm-hmm. You accomplish nothing without him being right there with you.
Yeah.
And that's one of the, and I think like the Matthew 7 people that, they said, well, Lord, look at all we did in your name. I think they were doing it, and they might have even been doing something. It might have been happening.
Yeah.
But he wasn't with them.
Yeah.
He said, I never knew you. I wasn't there with you.
They had phylacteries, had the scripture. Right,
yeah.
And that is surely a natural, mechanical way of dealing it. But we need a spiritual phylactery.
Yes.
Have
good
in front of us the fact that we accomplish nothing if he isn't there doing it. You know?
And, you know, the scripture that says, to as many as are led by the Spirit, they're the sons of God. We don't put the emphasis where it belongs a lot of times. In order to be called the sons of God, we have to be led by the Spirit.
Amen.
That doesn't mean we lead him. That means he leads us. And so you pray and you wait on the Lord, and the Lord, he starts leading you where he wants you to go. Well, somehow he's been leading us, even in our hopeless ignorance. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And we're starting to see some things that are profound. And Candy's right. I mean, I appreciate her understanding of some of these things. And I think some of it she gets from her husband, I think, but I'm not sure. But, it kind of puts me in my place as far as wanting to see all these great signs and wonders. And she says, Dad, what more do you expect to see? Look at the transformations that are taking place in people's lives. What is greater than that? What is greater than what God is doing?
You know, that is good, and I agree. You know, because that's what I always thought. But when you know, we are seeing an amazing thing right now. But when you ask what is greater than that, I almost hear something like, just wait.
Yeah.
I totally agree 100% with what you're saying. But it's like,
but surely there is another level.
Yeah, it's like,
I don't think that's
for one. We're not even close to.
As far as I'm concerned, this is the greatest thing ever. But God, I mean.
Well, the thing that I've seen in dreams,
is
what has thrown me off. You know, I have seen some unbelievable things of which sets the stage. You know, when Jesus had the healing ministry, he wasn't sent to earth to heal people. That was a byproduct.
Right.
He was sent to save men's souls.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but the thing about it, the signs and the wonders and the miracles get people's attention, you know, and somehow God has got our attention to do the thing that is pronounced widespread throughout the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation. Hear the word of the Lord. Hear, how many times does it say in Psalms 119 alone? You know, hear the word of the Lord in one form or another. Almost every other verse.
Hundreds of times.
Yeah. Just
hear the word of the
almost
Lord.
Almost every other verse.
Can these bones, Ezekiel, live? Ezekiel was afraid to answer. Mm-hmm. He said, Lord, you know, it don't look promising to me. He said, well, here's what you do. And this is a strange thing. And now, right now, you and I are beginning to get a little understanding. Prophesy to these bones. What? Here? Well, that's not a prophecy. I mean, where is this predicting thing? Tell them about the eclipse of the moon in 300 years from now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it's not that kind of thing. Prophesy to these bones to hear the word of the Lord.
You know, are you done?
Yeah.
You know, when you prophesy to the dry bones to hear the word of the Lord, so we have a skeleton, all of a sudden they have a body, right?
Yeah.
There's a place that speaks about, you know, don't judge someone by the clothes they're wearing. You know, as in that you're going to pay more attention to them because they look fancier.
Yeah.
And you're not going to pay more attention to them. I don't know. They don't look as good. So when you are out someplace, all of a sudden you see a person is like, well, maybe I'll tell them, you know, about God's word, but no, they're doing meth. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They're not going to. Yeah, that's a dry bone.
Yes, amen.
You know what I mean? Amen. That's a dry bone. If a dry bone, if I saw a skeleton, I wouldn't even consider say hear the word of the Lord. So, so never say no, not to that. They're not going to hear. If God says prophesy to the dry bones, who is anybody with blood flowing through the body is in better shape than the dry bones.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
you better receive instructions from the Lord to do it, of course.
Right.
Because I mean, Ezekiel could have seen a bunch of dry bones and said, hear the word of the Lord, if he hadn't been told by the Lord that
you do need to receive instruction.
Right.
But if you hear another voice that says no, because it doesn't look like they would, you know. I mean, that's definitely not the right thing. Mm-hmm. No, that no one will receive it because dry bones took it. You know, so. I don't think there's a person, a human, in too bad of a shape, or do not.
We really best not write anybody off them.
So no judgment of how they look or what they're doing or whatever. Yeah. Yes, we need to get instruction from the Lord first.
Let me read a couple of scriptures. This was ahead of the scripture that I had in mind, but it says, "All things that are reproved." Now you got to think about what this is saying. All things that are reproved, that are corrected, are made manifest by the light. All things that are reproved. Are you understanding what I'm reading here?
What is reproved?
Corrected. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. When you correct somebody. Yeah. So if there's any correction is made manifest by the light. It's the light that corrects. Okay? Now you take that in thinking. For whatsoever that makes manifest is light. Wherefore he says, okay, dry bones, that's us. Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. Awake, you that are sleeping. The verse says sleeping, and then it says rise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Where are we getting our light? It's coming through Christ. It's coming through the Word of God through Christ. It's not saying that, you know, that Christ is he is a light thing, but it's God through in Him that is given the light.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We get the light through Christ, and we are reproved by the Word of God, corrected by it. I've been through major corrections, reprovings, whatever, and the light keeps coming, and the light gets brighter, and the light is greater, it's more wonderful. And it's like sometimes I think, you know, there's a scripture that says, if the princes of this world would have known, they never would have crucified the Lord of glory. Well, you know, we're talking about the Jewish leaders, the princes of this world. It doesn't even call them the princes of the church. The princes of the world, because you couldn't tell them from the world. You know what I mean? And in a sense, they were more evil than the world was. And so it's kind of like the same idea here. It's like, If the church out here knew that the thing that they have in their hand was actually the eternal word of life. Remember what Jesus said? He said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they're life. You know, they're the two things that I'm speaking. And so, what is happening? Life is coming. Light is coming.
Yeah.
Life is coming. Is that right, Shelley?
I still remember the time when I, at a Gideon's affair, and I told the people in the church that I was ministering at about your having heard, you know, if you really are serious about me, look for me where I am. You know, with a hungry heart, that place should have just lit up like a candle.
Yeah.
You know, it should have. It did with one man. You know. You know, there is something about that, you know, that is a life-giving deal. You know?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, hey, what about the
There's a scary scripture. It's in Jeremiah somewhere. And it's, and here's what it says. And it says, and they shall come to Zion, meaning heaven, you know. One from a family, two from a city. Yeah. Or you know what I mean? Are you guys familiar with it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, you mean the percentage is that low?
Yeah.
It's kind of like Sodom and Gomorrah, and then America is getting worse all the time. You know, it's like you work out, you know, if the righteous scarcely be saved. I'm not about to make any boasts myself, I'll tell you.
Yeah, yeah.
Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Does it have to say fear and trembling? And it say, work out your own salvation with a bowl of ice cream?
Mm-hmm. You said a little bit earlier, you know, what can you accomplish? And you know, what came to me was
nothing
of worth.
No,
we can't accomplish anything of worth. We're not going to, I mean, no matter, we can do a great tile job, we can design a computer, we can lay concrete, we can judge a case, but none of that is valuable.
No.
None of that valuable. We can't accomplish anything. And that, even with the revelation that, you know, that God gave you, you have to find him where he is, you have to seek him where he is. Even that isn't, I mean, okay, so I know I need to be reading my Bible.
Yeah.
Without the comfort, without the Spirit of God, even that doesn't avail anything. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I mean, without God,
mm-hmm.
we have a scary, it says this at least once or twice in Hebrews, but it says, you shall have no need that any man should teach you.
Mm-hmm.
That's scary, because the church is under the impression that everybody needs some man to teach you. Yeah, and it says here, you will.
The church
have
is based on that.
Huh?
The church is founded on that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because it says, it's too hard, you know, you're not close enough to God. There are people who are trained to be close to God, and they'll tell you what you need to know.
Yeah.
That's what priests are.
Yeah, so you believe what's ever stuck in their nostrils, you know.
I know. There is scriptures that say, how will they hear if they don't have a pastor or a preacher?
Yeah.
Or how, you know what I mean? So that we have those scriptures. And, you know, God will send you teachers and pastors and apostles, I don't know what. But it's not to tell you God's word. It's that they will send you pastors and they will send you to tell you about it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Not it.
Yeah.
To tell you about it. Hey, there's a God. There's a word. There's a this. There. Now you, but not. So that's where, if somebody ever comes back, you know, when if we ever say, hey, no man should teach you. When somebody's telling you, hey, you need to, there's a Jesus and there's a word and you need to go get it. That's not a teaching. This is a pointing and about this. I'm going to tell you about this. I'm going to tell you about this food that is delicious. It's called pizza. Now you go eat it. You know what I mean? I'm not teaching you pizza. I'm telling you about pizza. So that's a difference when people think that you need a person to teach you all the time. Yeah. And it's not.
Well, what they take as being taught is interpret for you.
Right.
Yeah. Yes.
And you
yes.
should have no man interpreting mm-hmm. for you.
Yeah.
You know,
I think, you know, what Jesus told Pilate, namely that I have come to bear witness of the truth, and that those who are of the truth hear my voice.
Yeah.
I think that is the process.
That's good.
He's bearing witness of the truth. Now, that's not, you know, what you had said earlier, Pablo, I think you were right, but it was troubling,
that a really good teacher is, in a sense, not what we want.
No.
We want, you know.
Well,
but
and he hijacks it. Because a really good teacher right. will hook the flesh side.
Right.
And but, and you can sit there a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I think what, when Jesus bore witness of the truth, he wasn't being the really good teacher you're talking about. He was bearing witness of the truth.
Yeah.
And if you are of the light, mm-hmm. of the truth, whatever, you hear his voice.
Right.
I think that goes on.
So, yeah. A really good teacher is one who says, you have to get it for yourself.
Yeah. Right. Right. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Else is
or shines enough light or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
and, absolutely. You know, you need to flick on that spirit that is in that person somehow or other. And if it's not there, it's not there.
Yeah.
The best teacher will say, hear the word.
Right.
Amen. Mm,
that's
even.
Right.
You know,
and being able to do it in an anointed fashion, I guess.
A good teacher, they said, you know, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, or whatever. A good teacher is the one that you hear once and you don't need to see him ever again. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you understood, hey, and then you don't need him.
Right. Yeah. That's right.
You don't. Yeah. That's the best teacher.
Yeah.
If you can accomplish, if you, let's say, stand in front of 500 people and you say something, if they never call you back, because they got it, it's excellent. If they, oh, you need to come back to explain. Okay, obviously you didn't understand nothing. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, there have been times that I have been pretty frustrated with Jesus for not spelling it out a little clearer.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
But I think based on what we've been saying tonight,
mm-hmm.
maybe, you know, he knew what he was up to.
Right.
You know? And if it is, you know, if it flicks on a light or whatever to be, you know, so that it's not revealed by natural means, but
right.
by the Spirit. Then,
of course, now a little bit, Paul, what you're saying, if that's true. But then if we go in the context of gathering together and one prophesies in another, you know, it's enhancing
yes.
what you know you're after.
Yes. It will become that.
Yeah,
yes.
I think
yeah.
that process.
Yes.
Yeah. yeah.
You know, I don't
but
know.
It is true. I mean, I thought of that. I don't... If I said, you need to go to the Word and the Word will teach you, the Spirit will teach you, and that person got it, I should never have to tell them
right.
unless, you know, we do it like this. But,
yeah.
but you know, that's the goal, is then they go mm-hmm. and they get it for themselves.
There's a scripture that, I don't know if there's a translation issue or not because of the way he said, but there's a difference between understanding what I'm talking about and then understanding speech. Speech, if you understand my speech, you understand every word that I'm saying is clear. You understand every verb and adjective and whatever else. Speech, like a baby, you don't understand the speech. But Jesus told the Pharisees, why don't you understand my speech? It's because you're not able to, what is it, to listen to my words? Or
something.
Yeah, but the Pharisees... Whatever was, according to our scriptures, the Pharisees were hearing mumbling. I heard Jesus almost.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Why, Jesus, why aren't you able to understand my speech? Because you're not able, because you're not with Father. I don't know what he said.
But yeah, that I
yeah.
know. Yeah.
So I don't know if, yeah, that's, if there's a translation issue there when we see speech or not, but
yeah.
Well,
I think maybe it says why... Why aren't you able to understand the words that I'm speaking? So
the
know.
Idea is what I'm expressing.
Yeah,
the truth behind it, whatever.
But,
yeah,
you know.
That surely is what he's getting at.
Yeah.
But
and what we have is we got a really well. Billy Graham called our church system messed up, and it's worse than what he realized. But there's in the fourth chapter of Ephesians, there's what is called the fivefold ministry. And a lot of churches are aware of it, and so they each one claims, well, we have that ministry. We have the apostles and the prophets and the pastors and teachers and evangelists. You know, we have the fivefold ministry. But the problem is, what they have is not what Jesus set up. He set up a ministry, but when we see the effects that ministry is supposed to have, the churches are not having that effect. unity of the Spirit. Now we have to have unity through diversity. That's kind of not the same thing.
What they have is a nice, comfortable, pleasant
until we
arrangement
all,
there.
Until we all come into the, what is the word, of the image of Christ or the likeness of Christ. Is that happening? Is that happening to us yet?
I hope we're on the way.
Hope we're started.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, there's a start. And, you know, don't, what is the word? Don't something, the time of small beginnings, don't... Don't despise the times of small beginnings. Well, so, anyway, you guys have probably done better with this than I have. Because by now, we should have a couple thousand people. I'm teasing, but... I'm kind of a little bit leaning towards what Pablo was talking about. It's like, why don't you understand my speech? You know what? You could tell most people that you know what's going on, they wouldn't understand it anyway. Because they're programmed. They're all pre-programmed.
Yeah, that is a fine word.
You know?
That's true, and yet, you know, at the right time, things can change.
It'll click.
You know?
Yeah.
They catch up in the wrong time, and no, it's here.
And the other
hand, the duck's back.
In Acts, it says, and those that were meant to be saved were added to the church.
Right.
And such as should be saved.
Yeah.
It makes that reference quite a bit in the New Testament.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, those that are chosen, those that...
And then Jesus,
God is ordained, you know, and things like that.
And then Jesus makes a real scary statement. He says, you haven't chosen me. I've chosen you.
Oh, and he says, because the Father has given, because...
And I don't pray for the world.
No, I tell that to people all the time.
Yeah.
Love your neighbor. Oh, so you're supposed to love.
Love your enemy.
Well, yeah, love your enemy. Says, love your neighbor, so we need to love the, you know, homosexual or whatever. And no, my neighbor is one of the three, basically. You know, we have three. Well, Jesus, so who's my neighbor? And, you know, long story short, well, there was three people doing different things. Which one of the one is your neighbor? Well, only one of them out of the three. No, not everybody's your neighbor.
Yeah, right.
So I don't, I'm not
everybody's your brethren either.
No.
Yeah.
No. Anyway, the scripture, however, yeah, love your enemy. So where does that fit?
That's love your enemy.
Right.
I understand that part. I mean, I don't know if I can live it, but
right.
I understand it. You know, hate no one. You know?
In the scripture, it says, why do you not understand my speech? Even because you are, cannot hear my word. So he's mixing up, you know. Why don't you understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. So actually, they didn't understand his speech, really.
I think he's saying, you hear that I'm speaking in your language, but you're not hearing the message of
right.
my words.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. It's kind of like he was an ear to hear, but you're hearing, but you're...
Yeah, right.
I think that's what, but that's an interesting way it's phrased. You know, you hear my speech, but you don't understand my words.
Right. It's funny, he chose that way of expressing it.
Right. Yeah, I
agree. Almost like he's not failing to discern the particular words he's speaking.
Yeah, it kind of makes it a natural thing, not a spiritual thing.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know if that's really...
Well,
maybe that's a bit poorly translated.
Well,
I wonder.
The thing that makes you, all of you, different than anybody I've ever... I've had... some nice relationships with lots of people in 50 years. And lots of different people. But I've never had this kind of a relationship. This is the first time I've ever had this. Where there's a thing in people that want the truth. And we're developing a love for the truth. Which means that we have to we have to put down what we have thought was truth in favor of what God has for truth. We have to put our truth down. I have to set my doctrines down. And just that was hard. I've been taught some really strange things over the years, and I finally, after a while, I don't even remember what half of them were, you know.
Yeah, you basically have to go back to everything you thought you knew, you don't. And everything that you put confidence in, you realize that was a mistake. And you retrain yourself to, I only put confidence in God. I only know what God tells me.
Yeah,
and confidence in the truth.
And no matter what we say or think or want or don't want, Jesus said, when he prayed in John 17:17, he says, he's praying to the Father, he says, sanctify them and make them holy through your truth. Mm-hmm. Not my truth, through God's truth. Make them holy through your truth. And then he says, your word is truth. Mm-hmm. So then we have to decide, is this it?
Mm-hmm.
And it is.
Mm-hmm.
It is. And that's a rough one, because the church basically does not believe that this is God's word.
You're not much for taking credit here, Keith, but let me say that if we didn't have the process that we have right now, then there wouldn't be an opportunity for this to be occurring.
And
you know, and perhaps you were led by the Lord or whatever, I assume you were. But it is a fine, fine thing.
You know,
to have this opportunity to be doing this. And it's unusual.
No, we are being led by the Spirit. And Keith Gunn may have had some hand in it somewhere, but you are being led by the Spirit. And that's what we got to hang on to. Let's be led by the Spirit. Let the Spirit lead us. Let Him guide us. Let Him, you know. And you know what? God's in charge. He'll come up with a thing that works. I have no chance.
You know, and I believe you will totally be okay with this. But way back when you had first come back, you know, from being down south, I know some of us, and I thought you were one, Charlie. It was me and two, three other guys, I thought maybe elders, but I'm not sure. We're starting to discuss the fact that maybe it shouldn't be through just one man. Because I think what had happened is we weren't sure what was becoming of you. And so, you know, there was supposedly, well, we were going to maybe talk to somebody about being a pat or something. Well, we never did, because it wasn't ever going to be. You know, and then Keith comes back, and the reason that did something for me was, it showed that the Spirit was in it, because it wasn't just one person that got it. Other people were starting to have that same guiding, you know, that thought was being opened up, that it shouldn't be just one man, you know.
Uh-huh.
So. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, what Keith got other than that was just Keith came through you, and God used you, and you were used. You let yourself be used. And you know who it came from. You know it wasn't you.
And God using you guys. So
yeah.
Here we go.
Yeah.
But it ain't us. It's God. And it wasn't you. It's
no,
you know.
No. I didn't want any credit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and I... It's mostly negative praise I'm giving you.
Yeah.
There are people who would...
you should feel better about that. Negative
well,
praise.
Or passive or something. There are people who would say, no, I don't want to lose the control here. So,
right.
You know...
Yeah,
exactly.
I mean, the world is full of people.
I agree. Yeah. And that is exactly... That was once you opened up to the structure... And what I find really interesting about this is even after you got the revelation and you shared the revelation and it took hold in us as you continue to bring it, it took 18 or 19 years before we saw 1 Corinthians 14 to realize that's exactly what we have been doing. But, you know, and how many times have we been through the cross and read 1 Corinthians 14? And then all of a sudden, you know, it became life.
Obvious.
It became life.
See, every person here
yeah.
had to become obedient.
Yes.
You know, otherwise you would have refused it, probably left, did whatever. I mean, it doesn't say those, because some that aren't here and that were, we didn't hear all this, and, you know, it wasn't available to them, so you can't. I'm not ostracizing or, you know, I'm not judging them for any reason why they're not here, you know, but that heart to be obedient and to admit, you know, to admit you're wrong, to repent, and to be humble. I mean, otherwise none of us would be here. It would probably just be Keith, you know, or whatever.
And that, and think about that, because that was probably after the revelation of, if you want to find me, you know, go where I am. What was the next thing? In my recollection, the next big thing that we got was repent.
Yeah. Repent, and because, I don't know anything.
Well, I think repent, but, and then
yeah.
come as a child.
Oh, yeah.
We had to get on our knees and say, we're done.
Yeah.
Sure.
That's it for this.